intensifies. Now, the other huge point is, what are the factors that allow it to intensify and diminish? Your fitrat. Think about God for a moment. Think about God. What is it that triggers you to all of a sudden have a day where you're running towards the musalla, where namaz feels good, where prayers you want to pray more? Nafilah, mustahab prayers, let's bring it on. I'm on a very high today. What is it that intensifies that? Tell me, talk to me. Alibas.
The environment.
Oh, excellent. Environment. What else? Give me one more. Yes.
If you hear if you find out you're gonna die soon.
Okay. So all of a sudden now you have this sense of being religious? Fear, maybe? Okay, what else? Yeah, go ahead.
Mood?
Okay, that might be what triggers your mood though? Your environment. Okay. So I'll take all the buses. Go ahead, sister.
Faith.
Faith? But how do we build that faith? Why is faith sometimes so high and faith so low? What are the factors?
No, I have a point.
Okay, go ahead.
When you want something,
okay. That's good. Desire. Fear. All these things. Okay? I don't want anyone to allow me to move on unless we get this fitrat idea. Okay? Because Islam is a very inner-out religion. Okay? All the ayahs in the world, all the hadiths in the world will not make sense to you unless inside of you there's something going on. Unless you understand it aqli inside of you here, I can present to you 1,000 traditions. You won't accept any of them. And where you start off with is right here. Okay? The fitrah does not change. A mother never stops loving her child. There are moments where she can't stand her child. There are moments where she can't stop hugging her child. Okay? Intensity diminishing. There are times where, you know, if I look at... Anyways, go on. Yes?
Do animals not have fitrah?
Animals, no, they're instinctive.
So, with a mother caring for, what's the difference of, say, a chimp's mother caring for a baby?
That's more or less, that caring is more for self-defense, right? After a while, they separate from their child. Right? So,
chimps are pretty, chimps are pretty well-knit communities, actually.
It's a pretty well-knit community?
Yeah, like, they stick together as a family.
Okay, I mean, we don't deny the fact that the angels don't have the fitrat. I'm sorry, animals don't have fitrat. I'm saying animals don't have reasoning, aqal. Fitrat they could have, but what their fitrat is very instinctive. Their fitrat tells them to defend their family, to feed their family, to hunt for their family.
They don't go much beyond that.
They don't go much beyond that, right? So it might intensify to a certain degree. We as humans can go up until, right? That's where we want to go. Okay, so we understand what the environment helps, which means what? That when you're sitting in, let's say, Karbala, in front of Imam Hussein Zadi, your intensity is that you're booming, right? You're lit up. You're a source of nur. And you feel like, you know what, I feel like I'm an angel. I can't do no wrong. You come back here and everything kind of goes back to normal. Right? You go for Hajj, the person comes back from Hajj, and you can say, oh, there's nur on your face, brother, you're Haji now. Why? Because the environment changed. And sometimes all it takes, guys, is a spark, right? That's why you have Tony Blair's sister-in-law, who spent a moment in Bibi Masumah Qom's haram, and all she described was, I had an inner moment of peace. That's all she said. Why? She wasn't Muslim before. Right? Let's say that it's all legit and she converted, everything is happy. Let's say that everything was proper. What I'm saying to you is that her fitrat didn't change. It was a very low intensity. She went to the Haram in Qum, and now what? It intensified. So much so that it lit up her entire internal kingdom. And now she's a Muslim. At least on video she is. Right? So when the environment changes, the intensity of that fitrat also changes. But the fitrat itself doesn't change. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes, so far so good? All right. Number two. Where did it come from?
Sorry, one question on fitrat. Yeah. Are we born with equal elements of both of good and bad? Is it equal in fitrat in that regard?
Good and bad, what do you mean? Like identify good and bad?
No, just you have these instincts on, for example, the example you use of mother feeding a child,
right,
and so forth. Are we also born with elements, negative elements, which would be or prone to doing acts of that are haram, for example? Is our fitrat given with both good and bad, good and evil?
I don't think our fitrat can be identified as good and evil. Our fitrat is something that's given to us by Allah. If it's given to us by Allah, it can't be negative, first of all.
Okay.
Right? So that comes to my second point. Where did it come from? So if you're talking about an equal plane, then yes, every child is given the exact same fitrat. Right? And the deal that a lot of our ulamas have is that when a baby is born, every child does what when it's born? It cries. Cries for what?
Food.
Cries for food. Who taught that child that to get food, you cry? Right? So what happens is when a newborn is born and it's hungry or sleepy, to communicate with the mother, it cries. It can't do much else, right? But how come it wasn't frowning or lifting your right arm or do something? Right? So where'd it come from? If a baby is born into this world, understand that if I cry, I'll be fed. That's given to him from some source. Right? So the connection between the intrinsic nature of man and of God becomes very concrete then. Right? So if that makes sense to you, then you bring the Quran ayat, right? Afitratillah allati fatara nasa alayha. It's a beautiful ayat, requires a lot of tafsir. Allah made the fitrat of the man using his own fitrat. That's very deep. Requires a lot of tafsir. But at least a glimpse of it, you guys can understand how that is. Okay? So fitrat does not change. It's not taught either. It simply intensifies, it diminishes. Right? There are those individuals who are in Qom and Najaf, even here. Right? They go out in the same society you guys all go out and I go out in, but all they see is God everywhere. And all we see is Shaitan everywhere. So intensity, like I said, goes up and down, to a point where your entire internal kingdom now is lit up by this fitrat, connected to who? A creator of some sort. Are we good? So far, so good? All right, let's move on. Because now when you have a hadith by our Holy Prophet, we've heard several times from the member that might now make sense to us, that every child is born a Muslim, his parents make him Jewish or Christian or Hindu or Zoroastrians. We're not talking about the religion of Islam. We're saying every child is born into this world to submit to Allah. A Muslim is one who does taslim. Taslim is what? Submission. So when you enter the world at a state where you are submissive to God, that's what? That's in your fitrah. Okay? And then he goes along about the environment, Ali Abbas said, where if you grow up in a Jewish environment, you become Jewish. Right? The example that my ustad often gives me is a small newborn child who's very, very hungry can't identify what food is and what food isn't. So you'll see them do what? They eat everything. Right? If they're hungry, they'll eat dirt, garbage, toys, paper, your shirt, whatever the case may be, all they want to do is put something in their mouth. But they have no idea that what they should be putting in their mouth is what? Food. Same idea. Everyone understands that they have to worship something they don't understand about the worship of God. So when they worship something else, when they get to that point of worship, and then they think, wait a second, I'm not fulfilled here. It's the same reaction when a child eats dirt instead of something that's edible. You fed him, fine, but not what he should be fed. You told them to worship this, but you didn't tell them the right worship. That comes to our second point and our more important point, that we are. So for example, I mean, you know, if you guys aren't understanding what fitrat is, then the love for justice. Right? If I told these young kids 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago that, you know, stealing is a good thing and lying is a great thing, and you should go out and you should take someone's property, you should beat up kids for their lunch money, you should skip school, do all these things, you would say that, look, you're wrong, Asadai. These things are wrong. Right? Who knows? You may not have any sort of relationship with Allah at all, but inside of you know enough to know that this is right and this is wrong. And that comes from the intrinsic nature of man. And one of them that we claim that is inside the fitrat of the insan is worship. Worship. And what's our proof? What's our proof? We claim that inside every single human being, God-loving, God-fearing, God-deniers, atheists, Hindus, Muslims, Jews, everyone has this need to worship something. What's our proof?
History.
History. What about history?
Every era, they worshiped something.
Every era, you find that there was some sort of worship happening. No one can deny that. Either you're worshiping stars, or planets, or idols, or yourself. Right? Fir'aun and Namrud did what? They worship themselves. Or you worship Allah, or you worship something else. Are there idols today? Yeah, absolutely. They may not be in the form that you saw, let's say in the message, the movie, or in the time of the Holy Prophet, but there are idols today that we worship. What they can't deny is that all throughout history, worship happened.
Is that always literal worship?
What do you mean? Like actually bowing down to it?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Right. Just the idea that we identify that this is a supreme being of ours. Right, so what about atheists? Good question. Hashim.
Their worship is directed through love for themselves. It's a love, it's not the bowing down or saying that this is superior, it's the misdirection of love. So
okay.
It's towards God, but it stops to something else.
So, can an atheist claim that they don't believe in anything? Or that they don't believe in what you believe in?
Anything.
Sorry?
Anything.
I think it'd be very tough to find an atheist that says, I don't believe in anything. Well, they believe in some sort of, if it's not science, if it's not technology, if it's not future, if it's not some sort of hope, there's some belief somewhere. Sorry?
Justice, morality,
right? There's a belief system there, right? Let's not you know, confine worship to being sajda and ruku and that's it. Okay? Let's broaden our minds a little bit. So, the first thing that we say, again, the big statement is what? Every man was created to worship. And history helps us in the sense that nobody can deny that there was ever a time or an era where there was a group of people who didn't worship anything. And sometimes this need, like I said, was so high, intensified. We're talking about intensity, right? An example I gave these kids in the summer camp was what, guys? About the idols in the Prophet's time. The Majid left. Food. We have in our books that these individuals, during the time of Jahiliyyah, of the Holy Prophet, they would create idols out of edible items, food items, and worship these idols, and then eat those idols for dinner. Hilarious, right? It's hilarious. But oh my God, that was their God. Why? Because the intensity of the fitrah was so high that even it clouded the judgment of the aql, that look, you're worshipping something you created with your own hands. Right? So when Nabi Ibrahim is challenging this person, look, you cannot believe in a sun that sets at night, or a moon that rises at night. But that intensity, that need to worship something is so high inside of them, they're willing to accept anything, even handmade gods. Okay? All you need to do is what? I'll give us. Your answer again is what? Your environment. Your environment. We don't claim that everyone worships Allah inside of them. There's a need to worship them. So now what do? We train this fitrat. Because fitrat gives us what? Fitrat gives us potential. Fitrat gives us potential. Any guide, external, internal, is all about potential. Okay? You can choose to listen to that guide or not. You can ignore that fitrat, you can ignore the Holy Prophet, you can ignore your uncle, ignore your parents, that's up to you. But the guide is there. That's Allah's mercy. That's Allah's love for us. But we claim that every single human being now has this inside of them to worship. That's why a lot of these people who convert, we refer to them as reverts. Why reverts and not converts? Go ahead. Yeah, they're back to their original light, right? And usually what kind of gets them into our little domain is our concept of Tawheed, of God. The way our Ahlul Bayt explain Allah, no one else does out there. And that helps them to intensify their fitrah so much that I see the light, as they say. And they're back. Because this right here is screaming at them that I'm not satisfied with what you've pointed at me for worship. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Quick question on topic. Why is this discussion important for us? My elders especially. First thing I told you guys what? That leave your religion at the door, right? And come at me with a clean slate. Let's start fresh. We're not Muslims, we're not Shias, we're not nothing. Just early one.
I want to satisfy myself.
Okay.
Since I was little, and when I come here first time, then I feel like I need this class.
Okay.
To satisfy my...
Okay, to satisfy. Right, we talked about the very first day when there was 13 people the first day. We talked about what? You have to check yourself. You remember that? And don't say before you wreck yourself. Check yourself. What was the story I told you guys? Who remembers the story from week number one? Who was here from week number one, first of all? Nobody was here. That's a sad state of affairs. Okay. The story was what? It's a very nice story. Young small boy enters a convenience store. Packs up his phone books. Climbs up on the phone books. Pops his quarter in and makes a call from the public phone. The owner of that store is now watching him do this. The kid says, yeah, hello, I'd like to offer my services to you for the summer. I'll cut your grass for this amount of money every week. The woman says, you know what, I'm very happy with the person I have. I have somebody already to cut my grass. I don't need anybody else. He says, look, ma'am, I will give you a better price than that guy will. I'll cut it for half the price he cuts it. She goes, look, I'm very satisfied. I have no problems with the person I have. I'm very happy with who I have. I don't need your services. I'll mop your floors. I'll vacuum your carpet. I'll wash your dishes. Just give me a chance. She goes, look, good people are hard to come by. I have a great guy. I don't need anybody else. Hangs the phone up and smiles. And the owner is doing what? Watching this young man. Owner comes up and says, look, you're very persistent. If you need a job, I have an opening, come work for me. He goes, no, I'm not looking for a job right now. Owner's confused. He goes, you're just begging this woman for a job. He goes, no, I wasn't. I'm the one who cuts her grass every week. I was just checking myself to make sure I was giving her the proper service. And he was very happy. Right? The entire mission of our Dars here is like I've been pouring down your throats. To go from what? Imitation to? Say it, somebody. Realization. What does that mean? Taqleed to taqeed. We are Muslims because we imitate our parents. We are Muslims because our father or our mother or our mahal or where we came from were Muslim. Right? There comes a time where we have to understand and ask ourselves the very, very tough questions that our parents never had the courage to ask their parents. But look, is this a joke? This Islam religion? I mean, is there even a God? Are you sure about this religion thing? Right? If my father asks his father, he gets a slap in the face. Maybe a few chuckles here and there. Seriously. But our kids today ask that. The tough questions. Why? Because they've begun this process. That look, I don't want to be Muslim because you're Muslim, mom and dad. I want to realize that I'm Muslim. So what that takes is going back to day number one now. Talking about religion and deen and Allah and everything. And then fortifying that belief. Saying, yeah, you know what? I'm on the right path. And then once you start that with this notion, now it becomes lizzat in your worship. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'inna al-qulub. The dhikr of Allah gives you itminan in your heart, gives you serenity in your heart. We're not there yet. Right? We read namaz so fast that the water from the wudu is not dry yet. And we're done, Zohar Asr. 8 rakats, we're done. And the water's still dripping from our feet. Anyways, so we're not there yet. Why? Because our realization is not there yet. So these classes, especially for people who are my elders, my respective elders, it's important to go back sometimes to the drawing board and make sure that what I believe in is the right belief. Alright? So, fitrat needs the proper environment. Correct? Sorry about my handwriting. Fitrat needs the proper environment to do what? We're building an entire building here, right guys? Floor by floor. So we've identified that the fitrah doesn't change. All it does is that it intensifies, it diminishes. What helps that intensity is the environment. So fitrah needs the proper environment to intensify the worship inside of us, which we already proved exists in all of us. Logic. Right? No hadiths, no ayats. Simply aqwa. So far so good? So what do I mean by environment? Does that mean that we live in the West so we can never flourish? Does that mean that I have to be in Iran or Najaf or Pakistan or some Jamhuri Islami country for me to be a true abid of Allah? If so, then why are there worse Muslims in Pakistan than are here? Why are there women in Iran who don't wear hijab and there are women who wear hijab here? So when I talk about environment, what do I talk about? Hashem.
Are you talking about creating the external environment or the internal environment?
You tell me.
It's both.
Okay.
But over here it's just external for the most part.
The fitrah resides where?
Internally.
Internally.
But it's conditioned from both the external.
Correct.
And internal.
Correct. But the amount of influence the external has is completely dependent on the weakness of the internal influence. Mm-hmm. Correct? So when you put Nabi Musa in Fir'aun's kingdom, and he comes out as a prophet of Allah, that means that his internal kingdom overtook his external kingdom. Right? Fir'aun raised him. Fir'aun raised this man. He came out to be a proof of Allah on this earth. Okay? So the externalness had no effect on the internal kingdom of Nabi Musa. The fitrah resides on the inside. Right? Islam is what we claim, and Mawlana Bakr claims, and Mawlana Rizvi claims, that Islam is a complete system of life. Encompassing of everything. So if you need a proper internal environment to make sure your fitrah intensifies to worship, that means that fitrah and the akhlaqi world are mixed together. Right? You cannot be an immoral human being. You cannot have a disgusting nafs inside of you and expect this fitrah to intensify. Doesn't make sense. Right? It's like trying to grow flowers in a dead piece of land. Not going to happen, right? Okay, so understanding Allah, knowing God, with what we started here, the very first internal proof is the fitrah. Now, you guys help me out now. How do we strengthen the fitrat. Or you know what? How do we intensify the fitrat? We've identified very logically that we need the fitrat. Without it, we can't get to God. And we've identified that it has to be at a very intense level for us to be at a proper worship. Otherwise, we'll worship idols and not Allah. We've then identified that you need a proper environment for it to flourish. Correct? And someone who has a disgusting inside, somebody who has diseases of the soul, to a very extreme level, by the way, we're not masum here, of course, that person will be very far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the environment for the fitrat isn't conducive for it to grow. How do we intensify the fitrat? There's no wrong answers here, by the way. Yes?
We follow the teachings of the prophets.
Okay, the prophets, good. Talk about something more intellectual. Yes, Ali.
Choosing the right environment.
Okay.
If you know someone's going to be bad influences on you, people, certain people are going to be bad influences.
Okay. Okay, so are we talking about an environment as a society as a whole, or your personal environment?
I'm talking personal, I'm on a personal level, like who you know.
Good.
Who you hang out with. They all influence what your personal is going for.
What else? That's it. Good. Number one for a second here, since it fits to all of you. Islam has given, and this is a subtopic, but Islam has given extremely a high level amount of traditions on friendship in Islam, on who to spend your time with, who to surround yourself with. And a lot of you are at a stage now where your parents may say one thing. If your boys say the exact same thing, you'll do it. Okay? And your parents get frustrated in the process. So we have countless traditions about the... For example, the Holy Prophet says that the person will follow the deen of the man who he has made friends with. Okay? Mullah Ali says that souls that are alike are magnetically attracted to each other. Okay? So Islam has told all of us who to hang out with and who to not hang out with. And they've given actual traits. Why is the question? For this reason right here. Okay. With the exception of the formation of bad habits, with the exception of pulling you off the path, it actually changes and it lowers the intensity of your fitrat. That's how important it is. That you have the proper amount of people around you. And if I had more time, we would talk about this. But this becomes a very, very important discussion in this day and age. Okay? Because then that triggers into discussions that talk about groupthink. I talked about this in Madrasa one time. Yes, Sister Hibba.
What is the second thing?
Contemplation. What's groupthink? You guys know? Come on.
One person in the group does something, everyone else does the same.
Okay, so groupthink was a corporate strategy in the US that now they've made into a philosophical discussion. Groupthink is where you have a group of 5 or 6 individuals, okay, and the majority of the group has one way of thinking, and 1 or 2 individuals do not have that same thinking. But to conform to the group and to make sure they're not the black sheep or go against the grain, they conform with the other individuals and change their way of thinking. Okay? They brought that process into the philosophy of friendship. The idea of peer pressure, negative peer pressure. Why do our boys and girls go with individuals who they know are bad individuals? And they know inside of them, they're screaming at them, look, this is not good news. Don't go here. You shouldn't be here. You're not even enjoying yourself. But they don't want to be that one person who's a voice of reason amongst the foolish. So they do what? They conform. They go along with it. Even though on the insides, they're having a horrible time. Right? So it takes a real, smart, strong individual to say, look guys, you guys can go, I'll be over here. I'm fine where I am. Groupthink says that a very strong leader within is able to pull himself away from the wreckage, allow them to self-burn, and he walk away untouched. Right? So one topic that we need to discuss one day, inshallah, is Islamic leadership. Islamic leadership. The skills involved, the internal leadership, leadership at home, leadership in the community, we have to create proper leaders. Why? If you have those skills, guys, you're able to not follow, but lead. It's not that you're going to conform to others, others might conform to you in a positive way. And that's what you want. You want to set trends, not that you are the person who's following trends. Why? Because it affects your fitrah. It affects your intrinsic nature. Right? You stop coming to mosque, you stop going to madrasa, you stop praying. All of that becomes what was once a nice flash, bright light, becomes a small little candle inside of you. And one little blow and that candle is out. Okay? So how do we intensify the fitrah? Number one, a circle of influence. Two, contemplation. And there's many, many more. Right? But you have to create your environment. You have to allow yourself to develop Islamically in your environment. Okay, at home, in the centers, around your friends, choosing a spouse, your home environment. Everything is all connected to the intrinsic nature of you. That's how important these topics are. That's why they're so repeated on the member time and time again. Right? Are there questions at all? I think we'll stop here. Confusions at all? Can I move on from the fitrah discussion now? Yes.
So what does number two mean?
Contemplation, to think, to ponder about what's going on. Right? We have countless hadiths about thinking about, not thinking about just random things, thinking about your existence, what's going on. As you guys get older and wiser, your source of thoughts will also change. Right? It won't be about my report on Monday that's due, but rather, you know, what my destination in the hereafter, etc. Hashem.
For single friends, how do you relate it to Prophet Musa? If you're surrounded by darkness, then do you need a circle of friends and contemplation, or could you just go?
Was he surrounded by darkness though? Or was he the light for the darkness?
So you don't need a circle of friends that are necessarily good if you're in the circle.
If you're Nabi Musa, no problem.
But he was not always, when he was born, wasn't he born a prophet with all of that?
We don't believe the fact that these people were born prophets, first of all.
So right. Then
so I'm saying that, okay, so one idea is for you to jump into the fire, right? Put out the fire and make sure you don't get burned. Good luck with that. Or the idea is to say, look, I'm water, guys. If you want, I can put you out. If not, I'm just going to walk away. But I'm not going to go in there and risk the fact that I'll also be burned inside of you, along with all of you. That's one approach. If you can do it, great.
No, I was just trying to relate that example that you gave. Because you gave an example of us being, or I'm giving an example of us being in the West, surrounded by darkness, and you gave me an example of Hazrat Musa.
Okay.
Now, is that example relatable if we're jumping into a place where we're going to get burned?
I'm saying it is, if it's possible. I mean, what I get from that example, Hashem, is that you want to get into individuals who are off the path to pull them onto the path.
It's not that I want to get into it, it's just that our society is surrounded by it. It's, we're going to run into it no matter what.
Okay, so I'm saying you have a choice in society. Right? Ultimately, what's in your hands is to create that circle of friends. And I know this is cop-out, but at your age right now, a lot more choices than when I was my age and when Kaz and Eddie were their age. You have more choice of good, muttaqi, pious individuals than we did. Agreed, guys?
I'm only a year older than you.
Come on now. Yes, Sister Marie.
The example of Musa being raised in a very hostile, un-religious, un-Islamic type of environment also shows that he had two very strong influences behind the scenes One was his mother, who actually helped raise him as a wet nurse, and the other was his adopted mother, who was raised in so high elevation in the eyes of Allah that she is going to have a home next to the prophets when she in heaven. So even though it sounds like he has a very hostile environment, if you look around the most hostile of environments, you will find that light shining, but you have to find it.
And then he had his brother Nabi Harun, he had the Israel. I mean, he had, you know, the idea was that he was the one that brought people towards him. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be that leader where people conform to you. Right? Now you can do it by going in and pulling them out, or they follow you directly. However you want to do it, the idea is for you guys to set trends. Not that you guys are given such amazing principles and values and morals with your friends and your family and your community, and you throw that all on the ground to please a couple of guys who are just a bunch of boneheads, right? Who don't have any direction in life. All to make sure you're not the black sheep, the loser, the geek, the nerd, whatever you want to call it. Right? So you conform, right? That groupthink idea comes about in this example. Right. Yes, Lewis.
Just a couple of things. Firstly, the discussion on environment kind of cures my confusion from last week about how it starts.
Alhamdulillah. Good.
But two things, when you're talking about fitrat and then you gave the examples of Fir'aun and then you spoke about the Quran ayat where it said that you're made in the fitrat of Allah, and you think about fitrat, then you see fitrat works in the supply and demand model. So does it mean that even Allah has a need for us to worship Him, firstly? And secondly, you're talking about light and darkness and we glorify light, but if I think about my fitrat, sometimes I look at light and dark as warmth and cold, and sometimes when I'm cold I need warmth, and sometimes when it's warm,
I mean, it's a play on words, right? I mean, I use intensify, he use expand, you can use warmth and cold. The idea is that it doesn't change, it's the form changes, not the actual matter. Okay, and your first question, I don't understand your question, sorry.
That if you're saying that we're made from the fitrat of Allah, and we're talking about fitrat in terms of need, does that mean that Allah also has a need for us to be in this state of worship?
No, it's the other way around, actually. We need to go back to the person who gave us that fitrat. So let's say, and this is a very delicate discussion. Everything's metaphorical, what I'm saying here, okay? Especially for the video that's here. Let's say he has a fitrat like this. He creates us as human beings from this fitrat. Okay? So right away what you might think is that we are a juz or a part of Allah. And every kul is related or dependent on the juz. Every whole is related to its parts, right? That makes Allah dependent on us. I'm saying flip it. I'm saying that every individual now has to go back to its source. Right? That's also inside of us. Our essence screams at us to go back to our source. Our source is Allah. Allah will not change. Where we change is that we become more intensified. The closer you get to the sun, the more hot you become, the further away you become colder. If you can use that example, right? The sun won't change its intensity. Our closeness to that sun changes that intensity. Make sense? You guys weren't as alive as you were last week, but maybe it's a dry discussion. Come on.
So it's sort of like wajibul wujud
for us. Yeah, don't skip ahead now. A couple more weeks, inshallah, we'll get to wajibul wujud. Any more questions? Are there confusions about the intrinsic nature inside all of you? Right? If I left a little bit to think about, it's good. I want you guys to concentrate a little bit. Think about it. Right? On your way home, talk to your parents in the car. Right? Did you get what happened today? Did you understand inside of you what's happening inside of you? Because when Mawlana Ali talks about the fact there's a massive universe inside of you, this is part of it. A lot going on inside of you that we're not aware of. Okay? Alaykum salam. Thank you for joining us. Are we good? Any more questions, inshallah? Okay, can we?